This is 91.7 WVXU's Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. We're talking today about Kentucky politics, and on the phone we had Larry Sabato, the director of the University of Virginia Center for Politics, and in the studio now are Rick Robinson, a lawyer, author, and political analyst who was the legislative director for Republican Jim Bunning, and Nathan Smith, a businessman and political activist from Fort Mitchell, who was a 2008 superdelegate and the vice chair of the Kentucky Democratic Party. Again, you can join our conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Again, 513-419-7100. Rick, let me begin with you. You were listening to Larry Sabato talk about the Kentucky Senate race next year for Mitch McConnell. Give me your thoughts as we're 14 months out from this race.
Well, I thought he did a very good job at setting up the general election, and I know you guys were just getting into the primary side of it as we got there. I think he did a very good job at setting up the general. The crystal ball, for those who are geeks like Nathan and I who spend our time watching these things, the crystal ball is a very good place to go to try and watch it, and I think the lean McConnell in the race is where this race is right now. The thing that I think he was starting to get into that I don't necessarily agree as much on is the whole idea of where the Tea Party vote is going to go. Mitch McConnell was very solid with the traditional Republican voters. That would be the people that when you go down and look at a door-to-door list and you take a look at it, that vote 5 out of 5 Republican. The folks that are influenced by the message of the Tea Party in their vote, he tends to think that they might be somebody who, if the primary gets bitter, will stay home on an off election on this being an off election year. And generally, I don't agree with that. I think what you generally find in off election years, and he started to go into a little bit, is that Republicans tend to vote more in off election years than Democrats do in federal races.
Nathan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd have to tend to agree with Rick on that. I do think this is a very unique race, because it's been a long time since we have had an off-year Senate race that is very contentious. You know, really, basically, Mitch McConnell kind of took out Lois Combs Weinberg very early in the and as well as that, took out Bruce Lunsford very early in the contest. He spent most of his money up front. He took and made take a lot of time of telling the voters who these people were before they had a chance to describe who they were. So the race was kind of over. One of the things that I think that's different in this time is that Bevins actually is giving Allison Lundergan Grimes time to find money to take him on, as well as McConnell is having to spend time with Bevins saying, I've got to make – I'm different from him, while giving her the ability not to have to run commercials and deal with that issue coming up real early.
So in other words, he keeps McConnell busy while she builds a campaign.
That's correct. And we're starting so early, you know, this time out, it gives her the ability to look and get her organization started before he beats it down.
You know, Nathan and I talked the other night, Howard, when we were sitting around, and we do this because we're geeks. We don't have anything better to do than to sit around and think about these races.
Exactly.
But we kind of did this thing. If I said, okay, so if you were running McConnell's campaign and I was running, if we were on the other sides, what would you do? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things we talked about, if I were running the Grimes campaign, for instance, I would be having her sit in an office somewhere in Frankfurt all day dialing for money. And every 3 days having her walk out in front of a microphone and going, 30 years is too long, walk back in and continue to dial for money. Yeah. Because if she tries to go head-to-head with McConnell on the issues, she's going to lose. He knows them better. He's better positioned on them. And he's going to beat up on her on the issues. He knows the national issues far better, far deeper than she does. But it might be one of those years where 30 years is too long might be enough.
Well, I mean, this almost appears to be what she is doing. I mean, because she's not been heard from a great deal publicly, except at Fancy Farm, where I guess she gave a pretty good account of herself. But I guess so there was supposed to be a news conference with reporters this morning that she didn't show up for and sent two aides instead. But she is out there quietly raising money. I mean, do you agree, Nathan, that this is the strategy that she needs to
I have to, right, very rarely do I enjoy doing this, but I do enjoy agreeing with Rick on this one.
Okay.
Because I do think, I mean, it's almost like the Kasich-Strickland race in Ohio. The numbers were just against Strickland. So Kasich did a very good job with walking out every day and saying, hey, guys, I'm not Ted Strickland, and you know how many jobs we've lost. Walks back in the room and calls another Republican and says, can you give me some more money? And I think that Allison is looking at this the same way. If this race is ever about Allison, she loses, hands down. If this race is ever about, you know, her voting record, which she has none, but I mean, or whatever about her office, she loses. Anytime that she takes off that this is about anything other than Mitch McConnell and 30 years and his voting record, that's the way she wins this race.
Rick, how do you explain McConnell's approval rating in Kentucky, which is pretty low? It's not really that much higher than Barack Obama, who lost Kentucky by a very large margin. I mean, what is it about Mitch McConnell that just hasn't caught fire with Kentuckians?
You know, I did a long interview the other day with the folks from PolitiFacts down at the Tampa Times, and the checking that they do on ads. And I was talking to the reporter down there, and one of the things that we talked about is, I think, again, you separate out in a Republican primary in particular, with this whole thing going on with the Bevins campaign, the primary right now, is that if you separate it out, you have this. First off, you know who the 5 of 5 voters are. Those are the traditional Republican voters that watch the convention, that are the people that go to her. Again, I think McConnell is very solid there. I think if you broke down that whole number, I think you'd find it solid there. I think where you find it starting to get weaker is in that area of the, as my friend Ron Turner used to call it, you remember Ron used to call them the recalcitrant Republicans, that you never knew whether they were going to show up on a primary election day or not. And I think in particular in that area, the female vote, I think, is where the numbers that I've seen that McConnell has some trouble. So I think as you take a look at, as you're getting, you have one of the Bevins attack pieces in your hands, I think what you look at is he feels very comfortable with this whole, the whole traditional Republican side, but this area of the voters who are influenced by the Tea Party message, they fly under the radar. They fly under polls. You can't tell whether or not they're going to turn up. And I think he's doing it because by chance, he wants to make the definition of the universe bigger than what it should be in a primary and make sure they're covered.
Well, and I think also Rick hit on something. Women voters are not fond of McConnell, and particularly Republican women voters, because he has spent the last 6 or 8 years, he's been kind of exposed with being the minority leader, that he's having to go against some issues that traditionally that Republican women would be for. And I think that that's kind of hurting him. And this is kind of how I look at this race. Mitch McConnell has to figure out how he's going to spend $57 million convincing 7% of women voters to come back over for him.
And Nathan, we talked about this. I said how I was going to run the Grimes campaign. How would you run the McConnell campaign doing that?
If I was doing that, I would be trying to focus. Well, first of all, I would love the primary to be over as quick as I could. And I do think that if he can do that, that is helpful. But the longer that primary goes on and the further he moves to the right, is the more difficult it is to come back to the middle and to get those women to come back with him. Because the further at the right, he's going to be at issues that probably does not help him with the women vote.
This is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. We're talking today about Kentucky politics, and you're welcome to join the conversation. 513-419-7100. Our email is talk@wvxu.org. You can also post on Facebook and Twitter. Again, 513-419-7100. Rick, you mentioned that Allison Lungertner and Grimes could come out and say 30 years is long enough, go back in an office and make phone calls, fundraising phone calls.
If I were advising her, that would be exactly what I would advising her. But, and by the fact that she didn't even show up to her own press conference, I guess she's apparently, Howard, taking that advice.
But Mitch McConnell is still in the Senate and still has legislation to tend to. And there's going to be a fight coming up about spending resolutions and also the debt ceiling. And he was a big part of that at the end of last year when they were talking about the fiscal cliff. Does that change his operations going into those talks this fall?
I don't think it's changed anything in his operations, because I think he's been in that mode for so long. That's part of the campaign plan. That's part of the political apparatus of Mitch McConnell. I think you have to remember in looking at all of this, another place where Nathan Smith is probably going to agree with me is that the best politician in the United States Senate is Mitch McConnell. I think there is nobody who understands it better or who plays the game better than that. And so as he's looking at all these votes, this isn't something that he has just started thinking about. Debt ceilings, all these different issues. These are things that are constantly in his wheelhouse that he's taking a look at.
Well, and I think that is one of the things that Rick and I agree there too. But I think what's interesting about this is when you get into the 30 years, that is what is really hurtful to him because it's about his record. You know, a perfect example in Northern Kentucky, he's been all over the place. And one of the things that I believe that will very much hurt him in Northern Kentucky is the bridge issue. He has, I mean, if I'm writing a commercial for Alice Lundergan Grimes, the first commercial I run is a picture of the bridge and all the places that Mitch McConnell has paid for bridges and voted for bridges in other parts of the country, but he wants to toll our bridge. And I think that is a major issue because there's nowhere for him to get away from that because he said it over and over and over. We're going to probably toll this bridge. And if you talk to people in Northern Kentucky, they think that's a horrible idea because they, all they see is traffic all the way back to Florence. Mm. And I think this gets him in just kind of a crazy mess because if he says, I don't want to toll the bridge now, well, first of all, he got a flip-flop on him. And Bevin says, well, how are you going to pay for it? So it's a great issue. And then another issue that I think that he has to deal with, he just got himself in a mess 2 days ago in Corbin, Kentucky, which is coal country, a place where I grew up down there. And a coal operator gets up and says, what are you going to do for coal? And he goes, well, elect me and I'll be and we'll get control of the Senate and we'll fix coal. And then the guy says, well, what are you going to do for coal? He goes, elect me and I get more power and we can fix coal. And that's the problem. He doesn't say what he's going to do about coal. Everything's about power. And I think that continues. He can't get out of that.
But I think, Nathan, right now, to the Republican voters and a primary voter, I think that's the message is okay. Again, when you get to the point, right now we're running a primary campaign. We're a long way away from a general election campaign.
I agree.
And I think that is a message that plays with the Republican voter.
It absolutely does. But that's the same issue.
But down the road, and again, if you take the opportunity, though, when the two of them stand toe-to-toe, I'm going to put my money on Mitch McConnell to get those issues right in a debate or in a slugfest over Alison Lundergan Grimes, because McConnell knows those issues so darn well.
And the other thing, if I was Alison Lundergan Grimes, I wouldn't be having a debate with Mitch McConnell in Corbin and Ivan and Pikeville, Kentucky and Somerset and all these places. I'd have two. And then I'd let the commercials do the work because he has, you know, hundreds of clippets that you get to discuss who is Mitch McConnell. And obviously, I agree with Rick 100%, and I've told Allison this. I believe that you debating him all over this state is not because he does know the issues better. He's been there 30 years, and before that, I think he worked up there. I mean, the best quote of all is when they've got him where he says, I have up in Northern Kentucky, he says, well, I've gotten a government paycheck for my whole life. I mean, there ain't no better than that.
This might be a setup, but you're saying, you know, he knows the issues better. So why would someone vote for Alison Lundergan Grimes?
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. I was just getting ready to bring that up. It's nice, Jay. I appreciate you doing that for me.
He does know the political issues better. There is no doubt. But the fact is, anybody who's been there 30 years, I didn't say he was right on them. I just said he knew them better. And he has spent a lifetime spending – I mean, if you've never received a paycheck from anything other than the government, then obviously you would know those better than her on everyone. I didn't say he was right. I just said he knew them better.
But she, at some point, is going to have to be prepared to go toe-to-toe with him on those issues.
Or at least toe-to-toe with the press, Howard. I mean, right now she's ducking the press.
Well, I mean, you know, I had not heard that, and I did not know that she was having a press conference. I never saw anything on any website or anything that she was having a press conference.
She ducked him at Fancy Farm, too, Nathan. She's been ducking the press since
she
started
this. Well, I mean, Mitch McConnell does, too. She's been ducking
the press since this whole thing started.
Hey, listen, you told her, you gave her the advice to duck the press, so I mean... Is she going to take Rick's advice or not here?
But, and I think, to be clear, I think what we're talking about this morning was actually a teleconference, yeah. not a,
yeah,
a
well,
press conference.
At her official announcement, she didn't take any questions.
Well, now, well, what's interesting about that is I believe that she did not – I had spoke with her on the weekend prior to the Monday, and I think she was still very much torn on if she was going to run because you know that you're taking on Darth Vader. When you know you're taking on Darth Vader, it takes a long time to get yourself right for that. And, you know, yeah. she did.
You talk about her debating. You limit the number of debates. You know, in the presidential contest, they always have somebody to play the other person. Who would you select as she's practicing to play Mitch McConnell?
Probably Darth Vader.
Then am I supposed to say I'm supposed to
you're supposed to agree with me there?
No, to take Maureen Stapleton because you know from All in the Family that it was you know that she doesn't know anything about the issue. I mean, come on, what you want? I think you want in any debate. And Nathan and I have done a lot of debate prep for candidates over the years in these debates. And what you want to do is as much as trying to get them focused on an issue, you want to get them focused on a camera. The first time that I went down and talked with Rand Paul when he was running the first time, his answers were great. As he looked at the camera and doing around, you know, debate prep ends up being a lot more these days about looking into the camera and it less about used to be less about who plays the other side because the messages are pretty clear when you get to that point.
I want to circle back to because we had a Facebook comment and you were talking about the Brent Spence Bridge. Bruce wants to know why did Senator McConnell actively block the transportation bill when it would have provided funds to replace the Brent Spence Bridge? Does he understand that the Tea Party is opposed to making it a toll bridge, thus requiring government funding?
That would be a good question to ask Senator McConnell next time that he's in town.
Again, yes, it would.
If you remember my background as they enter this, thank you for the question first off. But if you remember, I was Jim Bunning's legislative director. Jim Bunning, the only federal money that has gone into the Brent Spence Bridge project was obtained by United States Senator Jim Bunning. So we have a little difference of opinion on the bridge and have a difference of opinion from where the side that we came from.
But what about Nathan's point that this could really hurt him in northern
If you
Kentucky.
Take a look, Howard, if you take a look historically at where McConnell's vote has come from, and I can remember it's funny we talk about a bridge and transportation. I can remember the first time Mitch McConnell ran, the night before the election, he wasn't in Louisville. He wasn't in Lexington. He was down at the Dixie Terminal with me and Lawson Walker shaking hands as people got on buses from Cincinnati to go back over the bridge into northern Kentucky to their homes. And his first election, it was northern Kentucky that carried him and made him a United States Senator. Since then, the margins in northern Kentucky have been excellent for him. If that becomes an issue, yeah, I think he's going to have to address that, and there is going to have to be something that he has to figure out how to keep that margin where it's at in northern Kentucky.
Well, and he's going to have to address the people of northern Kentucky that you can't run out and say, I'm the most powerful, one of the most powerful men in the country, and then turn around the next breath and say, but you're going to have to pay tolls on your bridge. Well, I built one in Minnesota, and I built one in Texas, and I built one to nowhere in Alaska. I mean, it is a very difficult question for him, and he's on the record, and, you know, and I would, you know, every day I would remind everybody in northern Kentucky that he wants you to pay a toll while he built bridges every place else.
And that's what you expect from
Grimes. I would expect that that'll be a commercial ran over and over and over.
I would suspect that Nathan has already written the script for that right. commercial by the way he's setting it up. I would suspect the script has already been written.
I would never do that.
Really. It'll run right after the You Got It commercials. Yeah, it'll run right after the You Got It.
Yeah, well, obviously Mitch McConnell's got to get, you know, past his primary first. I think most people assume that he is going to win this primary. But this guy is a really tough, tough campaigner. You know, if somebody challenges him, whether it's from his own party or Alison Lundgren and Grimes, I mean, he goes after them like you would not believe. I mean, you mentioned this mail piece. Genuine Bevan brand snake oil. Behold, a magical potion being spoon-fed to Kentucky conservatives far and wide. And, I mean, it accuses him of
everything but being a white man.
That's right. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
And it's a very strong piece. Now, this is like – is this sort of like going after an ant with a blowtorch? Or?
Mitch McConnell has – there's always been a line that Mitch McConnell has used for as long as I have seen him in politics. And his line has always been, if you throw a pebble at me, I'm going to toss a boulder back at you.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition, and we're talking today about Kentucky politics, and we're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. This is 91.7 WVXU.